in your prayers. And also, please remember Brother Tommy Ryan. He had a procedure this week and just not up to running a race again. So please remember him and Sister Roberta in your prayers as well. Today I have a subject, not so much a text. So we'll get to plenty of texts. But, you know, apart from the effects that we feel from the pollen, don't you love the springtime? You know, especially when you've had a hard winter, cold and drab, and no life on the trees and things like that, you know. But when you start seeing those leaves pop out and you start seeing the grass turning green, and isn't it just a wonderful time to be reminded that God has set all this in place, that after the wintertime, there's a spring. Springtime. It's a joyful, you know, when you just stop and think about that time of year and all the things that's happening, it's just a time of renewal, isn't it? That the earth, we see that the earth, from what we can see, you know, is experiencing a time of renewal. Now, we know that during the winter, like for trees and things like that, in the wintertime, the roots are growing. They're growing down deeper, and that has to be so that when the plant on top of the ground gets bigger and has more resistance against the wind, the roots are deeper and stronger and can handle the weight of what's above the ground. You know, sometimes the church is like that. There has to be some deeper roots and some renewal in order to, before we can have the growth on top. I've been pondering that this week, and I've come up with, I want to share this morning some thoughts in connecting it with the springtime renewal. You know, sometimes in our spirituality, we need some renewal. We've got some songs about revive us, O Lord. We've got scriptures that talks about quickening us. Well, you know, there's some daily activities that we can maintain that will help us in that regard. Now, we're going to have seasons. We're going to go through those seasons in life. There's going to be times when things are not all of what it maybe has been at another time. But bless your hearts, the thing that we need to keep reminding ourselves about is that God is always the same. And that what he has done for us is always the same. And the hope that we have of heaven is always the same. We're the variable. You know, the things that happen to us in life is what varies, but God is always there. He's always the same. He's always glorious. And he's always able to help us in whatever need we have. He already knows about it. He knows about it better than you do. He's probably been working on the solution already. Haven't you had those experiences in life? I have. Where you realize a problem and you seek the Lord for help. And when you see his solution, you realize, wait a minute, that's been in place for a long time. That's been working for a while. God can do that. Because he knows. He knows our need even before we ask. But it pleases him for us to ask. And that's where we start. I've got five things I want to try to talk about today. Lord willing, if he gives us grace to preach it, then bless your hearts, it'll be, you know, there's nothing magic about that number five and these five things. You could break it down to 105 if you wanted to, but, you know, it helps us to keep a short list, doesn't it? And these are things that the youngest who love the Lord, a babe in Christ, can do these things just as well as the most mature saint that's walking the face of this earth. We can all do these things, and it would all benefit to do these things, and we could all grow in these things. And it starts with prayer. I don't think there's anything about spiritual growth that could be accomplished without prayer. It's a starting point, isn't it? Now, if God has worked in us both, is working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, then bless your hearts, one of the things that we need to do on a regular basis is pray. How's your prayer life? Oh, preacher, let's don't talk about that. Well, maybe you need this. You know, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Right? Take up his cross, Luke says daily, and follow me. You know, if we're going to pray as we ought, then we have to humble ourselves. If you're going to deny yourself, that's where that's going to start too. Humbling ourselves, recognizing the fact that we need the Lord. We're not as strong, we're not as smart, we're not as powerful as we think we are. But the more we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, then we can be strong in the Lord. And so we need to pray. And you know, we've got wonderful examples in scriptures of those who prayed and prayed often, don't we? The Lord Jesus Christ prayed. Now that just blows me away. That God himself manifested the flesh. When he came to this earth, he spent much time in prayer. Do we need any further examples? We've got some, and I'll give you one, but the Lord himself spent much time in prayer. Now, he's the one that had all power both in heaven and in earth. If you had all power in this world, would you spend any time in prayer? No, you'd be doing what you want to do. I think the Lord knew what he was talking about, what he was doing when he gave us prayer and discipleship. Not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but to think soberly, righteously, you know. All right? So Jesus prayed. Daniel, that wonderful brother in the Old Testament, carried away as a teenager into a foreign land, forced to serve a heathen king in a kingdom that was far away from home. Everything that he had was taken away. And yet this man was exemplary in his life, in his fellowship with God, in his discipleship, serving God. You know, he purposed in his heart. Okay? I think it's Daniel 1 and 8. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Now the verse goes on to speak about other things, but that's the part I'm after. This is what he purposed. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. He knew the Lord. He knew what the Lord commanded. He wanted to honor the Lord, even in a foreign land, under serving in a heathen kingdom. He wanted to honor the Lord. He didn't want to do anything that would violate what would please the Lord. That sounds like a wonderful pattern for us today. And what was part of his practice? He prayed 3 times a day. He prayed. Now I know that Paul speaks about praying without ceasing, and we'll get to that. But praying 3 times a day. I mean, this man was committed to serving the Lord and trying to do what was right. And it could be that under the circumstances, he knew that he needed the help of the Lord to do God's will and still do what he should as a servant of the king. You know, we're to obey our rulers, aren't we? We're to obey magistrates. But we're to obey God rather than man if there comes a conflict. All right, Daniel. One of the outstanding characteristics of Daniel was that he prayed often. If you go, I believe it's Daniel 9, if you go reading in the book of Daniel, I tell you, he prayed a wonderful prayer. A wonderful prayer is recorded that he prayed toward the end of the captivity. He prayed. Don't you think that we need to spend time in prayer? Now, I don't mean we got to spend all our day on our knees praying and not doing anything else. Obviously, we're not talking about that, are we? But is it worth it to honor the Lord? I mean, let me ask you a few questions here. Could any of us stand any improvement in our discipleship of the Lord Jesus Christ? You don't have to raise your hand, but could we stand a little improvement? Okay, we're somewhere along that spectrum of doing a wonderful job and needing some improvement. We're somewhere along there. All of us are. All of us are. Okay? We need that. All right? So we could stand some improvement. Now, is God worthy of it? And is the Lord Jesus Christ worthy that we should be better disciples of His? All right? I like that answer. Would it benefit our lives? Really? You wouldn't just tell me that. Would it? Yes, it would. And would it benefit the lives of those around us, like our family and our church and our community and the folks we work with? Would it benefit them? You know, Daniel was a tremendous blessing to those folks in that kingdom. Is every indication that Daniel had a great deal of influence upon the governing affairs of the whole empire. Just like Joseph. Okay, going farther back, Joseph was in a place of great authority, and yet he was a great disciple of the Lord. Do you see a pattern here? Yeah, so it could benefit others around about us. So is it, based on your answers then, I think I know the answer to this, but is it worth your time to spend more time in prayer and trying to be a better disciple of our Lord and Savior? You see, what that's going to take is some intentionality. We're going to have to be intentional. We're going to have to do that on purpose. We're going to have to plan for it. Oh, preacher, don't start talking about that. We got too much in our day already. Well, you know what? I got a solution that will help that. You block out a little time for the Lord in the beginning of your day, and He'll help you with the rest of it. But if you continue to ignore Him in the beginning of your day, you're going to continue to find frustrations and a lack of help from the Lord. That's a faithful saying. That's why He told us, seek ye first. Not seek ye only, seek ye first. Seek the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, how we can live our lives according to the pattern that He gave us. And all these things shall be added unto you. He will help you with the rest of your day. Give Him part of it early. Do you remember what James said about if we draw nigh to God? You remember the rest of that verse? Draw nigh to God and what? He will? That's strong. He will? Yeah. He will. That's it. That's a promise. You know, I'm not giving you that promise. That's God's promise. From His holy, inspired, inerrant, preserved word. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Do you feel like you could use a little more feeling of his presence in your life. Here's a promise. And God's faithful to his promise. And the best way we can draw nigh to him is in prayer. Take a look. Even if you have to set your alarm clock for a few minutes earlier. If you just can't squeeze out another minute in your day, set the alarm clock a little earlier. Might mean you have to go to bed a little earlier. Well, whatever. If it's worth it. It's God's promise that he will be with you. He will help you. He will come. He will draw nigh to you. But he says, draw nigh to me. Now he works in us. See, he hasn't left us alone. He's not crying out to the dead alien sinner, you make the first step and I'll do the rest. No, he works in you. After regeneration, he's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he says, come to me. Right? And he says that, that saying is to those who feel his presence, who feel him working in us. And so draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now that's a firm promise. And that's not hard to do, is it? Just got to do it. And it doesn't get done sometimes. But the promise is waiting. You know, in the book of Isaiah, I went and did a little searching. This may not be exact, but six times. And I didn't try to write down all the chapter numbers and verse numbers and all that. But six times. Well, let me back up. Five times he says, and for all this, his anger is not turned away. But his hand is stretched out still. Oh, preacher, that's Old Testament. Do you know time doesn't matter to God? Do you know what he was looking at back then when his hand was still stretched out? He was already looking at Calvary. He had already purposed for his son to come into this world to save us from our sins, to pay the full debt of our sins. He was already looking at that. He knew it would be. It was his purpose. I purposed it, he says, I will also do it. And he did. But bless your hearts, he was already looking at the blood of his only begotten Son, which was shed on Calvary's cross to save us from our sins. By his own blood, Hebrews 9:12, by his own blood he entered into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I like something Elder Jeff Winfrey said at our fellowship meeting. He said, eternal redemption. You know, eternal is long enough, and redemption's good enough to save us from our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Having obtained, you know, not making a way for it, but he did it. All right, so pray. Start with prayer. Bless your hearts. That's where we need to start. All right. The model prayer. Do you know that's powerful? Now, I suspect that some people shy away from saying the model prayer a lot of times because Jesus talked about not using vain repetitions. Listen, he didn't say repetitions. He said vain. If all you're doing is just quoting it from memory and just saying the words without feeling it, that's vain repetitions. But if you're feeling it, that's the model he gave you to pray. All right? Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Does anybody need any help against temptations in this life? Everybody could raise your hand. All right? But deliver us from evil. Oh, I need that too, don't you? For thine is the kingdom and the power. There's our help. And the glory. There's our affection and our adoration. Forever and ever. He's never going to change. Pray to God. Pray on a regular basis. Pray fervently. James tells us the effectual and fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You believe that?
Absolutely.
Yes. So I'm afraid some folks have left off praying because they just haven't seen the answers to their prayers. Bless your hearts. Sometimes the Lord says no. Sometimes he says not now. Sometimes he says I've got something better. There's many ways that God answers prayers. But it's going to be on his timetable. And it's going to be in that way which is best for you. So get over it. He knows what's best, and he will do what's best. Pray, brethren, pray. Not only do we need prayer, we need to exercise our heart and mind daily in adoring God. Now you let that sink in for a second. Adoring God. He's worthy of it, isn't he? Oh, just stop and think about how glorious our God is. While people will spend hours and hours gazing into the heavens, just dazzled by the expansiveness and the beauty and the and all that, and maybe even the wonder of the heavens. Well, that's just the finger work of God. He spoke this world into existence. Not only is he a God of greatness and all power, but he's a God of love and mercy. And it's because of his mercy and his grace he gave us his Son to save us from our sins. Because we're ruined, fallen in Adam, separated from God. Oh, adore him. Now, while we're adoring God the Father, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that the greatest expression of the glory of God, well, in Corinthians it says that it's in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, 2 Corinthians 4:6, I believe it is. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Then Hebrews 1 says, who being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, and being the brightness of his glory, express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the brightness. Jesus Christ is the brightness of the glory of God. You won't find any greater, brighter, better expression of the glory of God than you will in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ is that one, the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us and went to the cross and shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins and obtained eternal redemption for us. Oh, spend some time exercising your mind and your heart in adoring God. If he's blessed you to know him, then there's so much more for us to know about him. But if we just spend some time with our heart and mind in thinking about how glorious he is, it will have a wonderful impact on your day. Spend that time. You know, 1 Timothy 4:8, Paul says, bodily exercise profiteth little, Now, this bodily exercise is great for us. But what that means is it profits for a little while. If you leave it off, you'll see how it you lose your benefit. All right? Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness. And I can't think of any better example of godliness than adoring our God. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In other words, it'll help your life right now, and it'll brighten your hope for tomorrow. Spend some time exercising your mind and your heart in adoring your God. There's plenty of reasons to adore Him. Problem is, we spend too much time setting our affection on things on the earth instead of things above. We've got it out of our priorities are out of order. If we get those priorities back in order, we can enjoy the things of this world. We can do the things that we need to do. We can address those things, and we'll have God's help doing it if it's something that honors Him, if we get the priorities right and seek first the kingdom of God. So pray, and pray some more. And then exercise your heart and mind in adoring God. Third thing I'd like to mention is redeem the time. Now, what that means is look at how you might could replace some things that are unprofitable, thoughts or activities. Look for ways that you can replace those unprofitable things with things that are profitable. And I just talked about godliness is profitable unto all things. All right? How do we learn those things? By reading the Word. By redeeming some time. Let's put it this way. Spend more time in faith book. F-A-I-T-H. Faith book. Instead of, like some folks say, a waste book. We can redeem some time there, can't we? If you happen to be there. All right, but there's lots of ways, and I'm picking on that because it's so popular, but there's lots of ways that we could redeem. We could change some habits. We could change some thought patterns. We could change some things and make it more profitable time. As a matter of fact, if you could identify some things in your life that are taking up some time that are not profitable, if you were to spend that time in prayer, that would be a wonderful way to redeem that time. You know, it literally means to buy it back. In other words, you're going to spend your time one way or another. You know, there's not anybody in here that's able to bank any time to save time today to use it tomorrow. I know there's ways you can affect effectiveness and things like that. But we're going to spend our time one way or another. So take some inventory. How are you spending that time? Are you spending it all on yourself? Are you spending it all in your little world? Are you giving some time thinking about serving the Lord and being a help to others around about you? If there's a way that you can redeem some of that time and put it to better use to the glory of God, it'll be a blessing to you. And it'll be a blessing to those around you. Is it worth it? Would it bring more glory to God? If it does, it'd be worth it. Okay? All right. So Daniel redeemed his time, didn't he? He spent a lot of time in prayer. He spent time in thinking about the Word of God. He spent time reading the Word of God. Because when you get over to the latter part of the book of Daniel, he came to the realization that the captivity was about over because he had been reading in the books. He'd been reading in Jeremiah. What Jeremiah had said was going to happen. It was going to be a 70-year span before they would come out of captivity. All right? He spent time in the Word of God. What a blessing it would be and help to us to redeem the time. Deuteronomy, all the way back in Deuteronomy 6:6. Moses talked about it, all these things that I've commanded you shall be in thine heart. Well, those things are not going to be in our heart. Now, I know there's a sense in which when we're born again, he writes his law in our heart and our mind. That's basically the leadership of the Spirit. But to know the letter, the teaching, the doctrine of God's word, we got to read it. You got to spend some time in there. You know, it's good to listen to preaching. It's good to seek out preaching on websites and things like that. I mean, there's lots of ways we can get access to preaching today. All right? But preachers don't cover everything. Contrary to popular belief, they try, but they don't. But that Spirit can lead your mind and heart into his word. And the Spirit can take his word and open up things to you that you hadn't seen before and the preacher never talked about. The preacher might have taken that text, but he didn't go in that direction. God can feed your soul through the leadership of the Holy Spirit and take this word and minister to you. And we need it. We'd be a better disciple if we had more of it. We need it. How much we need it every day. And so that's why if the interest is to redeem the time and make better use of our time and give more of it to the Lord, that's why Paul would tell us in Romans chapter 12 to be not conformed to this world. If we're ignoring the word of God, if we don't have those things in our mind, if we are not giving time to prayer, then we're going to start looking like the world. We're going to start sounding like the world. We're going to start loving the world more than we should. It's just the way this old flesh is going to take us. And that's why we need that word on a regular basis. Redeem the time. Pray. Adore our God. And seek his word. And let the leadership of the Holy Spirit minister to our soul and show us those things that we need in our particular life. Okay? Fourth thing. Number four. Find rest and refuge in your eternal security. I've already quoted Hebrews 9:12, how he has obtained eternal redemption for us. Isn't that wonderful? Can't you lie down at night in peace? You know, a whole lot about rest is peace. If you don't have peace in your soul, if you don't have that peace like a river that we sang about at the beginning of this service, if you don't have that, it's probably not real well with your soul. Peace from God. And he's given us peace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid our sin debt. He reconciled us. We've received the atonement. We're at one mint, which is like reconciliation, satisfaction, peace. God has given that to us. He didn't offer it. He gave it to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He purposed to do it. He sent his Son. His Son did it. We rejoice in it. It's ours. So rest in it. And find that peace and enjoyment in our eternal security. And my point in this is that there are lots of things that can happen to us in this world. There are a lot of things that can disturb our peace. There are a lot of things that can cause fear. There are a lot of things that are not the way we would like for it to be. But that's for here. And it's going to be that way as long as we are here. But someday we're not going to be here. If nothing else, if the Lord comes before we pass the scene of this life, then he's going to change us. We're going to be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And this world is going to burn up. Peter says it's going to melt with a fervent heat. It's going to take a lot of heat to melt some things, but that's all right. He's got plenty of it. This world, this whole world is going to melt with fervent heat. And I've used the illustration many times, but you know, some of the greatest explosions we can think of is when you split an atom. And what are atoms? You know, you got the nucleus and you got electrons circling. And all you got to do is just disturb the path of some of that. And all of a sudden, they're colliding with other things. And all of a sudden, you got a nuclear explosion. Don't you know God can alter the laws of physics and make all that happen and cause this world to melt with fervent heat by atomic explosions? Now, I don't know. He may have another way of doing it. He may rain down fire and brimstone like he did upon Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm amazed that he hasn't done that again. It's not because we're so good. It's because his long suffering is still there. Because his mercy endureth forever. Oh, but bless your heart, someday this world's going to burn up. But God has already provided for every one of his children. Remember John 6:39? I probably quote that more than any other verse. Of all thou hast given me, Jesus is speaking, of all that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. That's security. That is the hope of every one of God's chosen people. That is not dependent upon the chosen. That is dependent upon the faithfulness and power of God. And he's put himself on the line and promised he'll do that. It was Jesus' work, and what Jesus' work accomplished has obtained our eternal redemption. Can't you rest in that? Can't you find joy in that? Can't you rejoice in that? You know, I've known folks, and I know you have too, that would just lie in their bed at night just sick because they're afraid that somebody hasn't done what they need to do to be saved. Now, I'll grant you, there's plenty of time salvation and peace and joy and comfort to be received in hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's no gospel that any man has ever preached that has saved one person for heaven. Because Jesus has already taken care of that. But we can save folks from discouragement. We can save folks from ignorance. We can save folks from poor choices. We can save folks from a lot of things that causes heartache and discouragement in this life. There's a timely effect, a timely salvation. But bless your hearts when we lie down at night. Now, we may have some regrets that we haven't encouraged enough folks. And we may have some regrets that we haven't done what we should. But bless your hearts, there's no one that's not done something that's going to cause one person to miss heaven that Jesus died for. When he said it's finished, it was finished. What he was sent to do was finished. We can rest in that. And when we've done all we can in a day's time, we should rest in the eternal security that God's given us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One last thing. When you lie down at night, thank God for all his blessings. See, when our heart is exercised in thanksgiving, it's a blessing to us. It will add to that peace that we have within our soul. There's something about the Spirit. When we do things that are contrary to the Spirit, we feel the disturbance. But when we do things that are pleasing to God, and we have that confirmation from the Spirit, there's peace. There's more contentment. I believe you'll rest better at night. There's just so much about being thankful and having a heart of gratitude that is such a blessing to us. In one way, it shows our submission to God and our thanksgiving to Him for the blessings that He's so graciously given to us. You know, when in Matthew 11:28, when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is a rest that is given. That is a rest that we can find relief for the burden that we're carrying. When we're able to give it to the Lord, you know, cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Didn't we sing about that this morning? Cast all your cares upon Him. He can handle it. He's able to handle it. He already knows about it. He already knows what the solution is. But we're to cast all our cares upon Him. That gives us more release and more peace. The rest that He gives is a peace, more peacefulness. See, we think in terms of rest, but that rest is made up of more peacefulness. How wonderful that is. Now, if you keep reading in Matthew 11, after verse 28, when He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." You give it to us. But if you keep reading, you'll find out that there's more rest that's available. All right? "Take my yoke upon you and learn." Oh, preacher, I just like to hear what God's done for me. Well, I do too. But I also need to hear what I need to do to enjoy this life now. Since He's given me eternal life, and He's given us that eternal life right now for us to begin to enjoy it right now. But we have eternal security. Let's enjoy the peace that we can have now. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So when you lie down at night, thank God for all your blessings. And it's okay if you go to sleep trying to count them. I can't think of a better way to go to sleep at night than losing count of the blessings and succumbing to a good night's rest. Isn't that a wonderful way to end the day? David, let's see, in Psalm 55:17, isn't it? Yeah, 55:17. When he's speaking about, "As for me, I will call upon," this is verse 16, "As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me." There's some confidence there, isn't there? And listen, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray." Now, David is speaking this a long time before Daniel came along. He said, "At evening and morning and noon will I pray." You know, we'd have said that differently, wouldn't we? We'd have said morning, noon, and evening, wouldn't we? Well, that fits our day, but the Jewish day started at 6 p.m. Evening and morning and noon. You see, he was just starting with their day. Their day started at 6 p.m. in the evening. That's why in Genesis, after he created the first day, he said, "And the evening and the morning were the first day." Evening, morning, and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. if we're trying to practice these things, and like I said, you're not going to find this somewhere all laid out. It's just as we were thinking about the joy of the springtime renewal, we can have a spiritual renewal any time that we'll devote ourselves to attend to things like this. If you've got something else you want to add to the list, go for it. That's fine. There could probably be another 100 things we could add to this. But to keep it simple, to pray, to adore our God, you know, to have our heart exercised in adoring Him, redeeming the time, making good use of that time, finding refuge and peace in our eternal security, and then thanking God at the end of our day. We can all do that, can't we? That shouldn't be too hard to remember. But it's going to take the desire. It's going to take the desire to get it done. But bless your hearts, the blessings, the benefit, and the peace, and the joy that it can yield are tremendous. May God help us to apply ourselves to these things and things like this, to exercise ourselves unto godliness. He says, bodily exercise profit little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Starts with prayer. One more thought, and I'm closed. Two verses. John says in 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, you know, he talks about draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But there's a way that we can draw nigh unto God. The proud, he knoweth afar off. But when we humble ourselves and come to him, John, 1 John 1 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. See, the reason I bring this up is because there may be some that say, well, I messed up too much. God wouldn't hear me. Well, if you have that desire, if he's granted repentance, you can go to him. You can confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what the Word of God says. If you have that feeling in you, he's granting you repentance. Now, you can resist. You can ignore it. And he may shut the door, and you won't feel that anymore. But if you're feeling it, it's because he's already granting repentance. You're not going looking for him. You're just coming to him because he's drawing you unto himself. All right, so we can confess our sins, and he's faithful because of Jesus Christ. For the sake of Christ, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, Hebrews 4 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. How can we come boldly? I've messed up too much. I'm such a sinner. Yes, you are. He knows that. But if he's given you that desire in your heart, it's because Jesus has died for your sins and put your sins away. That's where our boldness is in the atonement given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need grace, don't we? We need grace to help us. You know, I've shared that with you about that grace to help, that word help. It's only one other time in the New Testament. And it's over in Acts chapter 27 when there was the great storm and they threw the cargo over to lighten the ship and still didn't help. And then they used helps undergirding the ship to keep it from breaking apart in the waves. Well, that word helps that they used to keep the ship from breaking apart That same word is that grace to help. In other words, God's grace is what helps us from breaking apart in the storms of life. Grace to help in time of need. Oh, may God help us to pray. May God help us to adore Him for His glory and His goodness. May God help us to redeem the time to find rest and refuge in our eternal security. And when we've ended our day, thank Him. Thank Him fervently for all His blessings, both now and forever. May God bless you, is our prayer.